Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Moneyless Man, A Year of Freakonomic Living is a nonfiction memoir and social critique by Mark Boyle that chronicles his first year living entirely without money, beginning in November 2008. The book is both a personal record of daily survival and an argument against the assumption that money is necessary for a meaningful or secure life. Boyle uses his experience to examine how consumer society, industrial food systems, and dependence on cash-shaped behavior, relationships, and ethics. Rather than presenting a theoretical manifesto alone, the book grounds its ideas in practical experiments, such as sourcing seasonal food, relying on solar power, using composting systems, and participating in skill-sharing networks. It is designed for readers interested in sustainability, frugal living, alternative economics, and the social costs of modern consumption. Its purpose is to show what becomes possible and what becomes difficult when a person tries to remove money from ordinary life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Boyle treats money as a social technology that weakens responsibility. A central idea in the book is that money is not merely a neutral tool for exchange, but a system that can obscure the real consequences of consumption. Boyle argues that cash makes it easier to buy goods produced through environmental damage, labor exploitation, and long supply chains without seeing the people or places affected. This is one of the book's strongest analytical moves, because it shifts the discussion from personal budgeting to moral responsibility. By living without money, Boyle tries to restore direct awareness of where food, energy, and materials come from. The result is not a romantic rejection of modern society, but a critique of how monetary systems can distance people from ethical accountability. The book uses this idea to question the assumption that economic convenience automatically equals progress. It also suggests that any serious sustainability discussion must address not only what people buy, but the hidden systems that make buying feel detached from consequence. Secondly, daily survival without money becomes a test of practical resilience. The book is grounded in the ordinary logistics of surviving without cash, which gives it much of its originality. Boyle describes the difficulties of finding food, arranging shelter, and meeting basic needs while refusing normal monetary exchange. This practical focus matters because it prevents the book from becoming a purely ideological statement. Instead, readers see how moneylessness works in everyday life, including the need for seasonal planning, improvised resourcefulness, and constant negotiation with uncertainty. The emphasis on solar panels, compost toilets, and simple living arrangements shows that the experiment depended on technical adaptation as much as on philosophy. Boyle is not claiming that modern comforts are meaningless. He is showing how much infrastructure is usually hidden behind them. The book therefore functions as a case study in resilience, revealing which needs are genuinely difficult to meet and which are more dependent on habit, expectation, and consumer convenience than many people assume. Thirdly, seasonal food and local self-provisioning replace the logic of convenience. Food is one of the book's most concrete themes, and Boyle uses it to show how moneyless living requires close attention to seasonality and locality. Rather than treating food as an always available commodity, he learns to think in terms of what can be grown, gathered, shared, or obtained within a nearby community. This shift is important because it challenges the industrial expectation that every ingredient should be available at any time. Boyle presents seasonal eating not as a fashionable diet trend, but as a structural necessity in a low-money system. That necessity exposes how dependent modern diets are on long-distance transport, packaging, and financial exchange. The book also shows that food access is deeply social cooperation, trust, and reciprocity matter as much as individual effort. In this way, Boyle connects ecological realism with practical subsistence. The reader comes away with a clearer sense that food systems are not only about nutrition, but also about land use, community ties, and the level of abstraction built into everyday consumption. Fourthly, the Freakonomy movement offers a bridge between theory and daily practice. Boyle does not present moneylessness as an all-or-nothing demand. Instead, he introduces Freakonomy as a transitional framework for sharing skills, tools, time, and resources without money changing hands. This is one of the book's most useful contributions, because it makes the argument accessible to readers who are not ready to abandon cash entirely. The Freakonomy idea matters less as a final destination than as a practical network that lowers dependency on markets. By focusing on tool sharing, skill exchange, and local mutual aid, Boyle shows how communities can reduce waste and strengthen social trust. This makes the book more than a personal experiment. It becomes a guide to incremental change. The approach is also psychologically important because it avoids the binary of either full participation in consumer culture or complete withdrawal from society. Instead, Boyle maps a series of smaller steps that can be taken within existing life patterns. That makes the book especially relevant to readers looking for realistic, community-based alternatives. Lastly, The book is strongest as a journal of limits, contradictions, and moral tension. One reason the book stands out is that it does not hide the contradictions of its own premise. Boyle's Year of Moneyless Living is not presented as effortless, and the narrative repeatedly returns to the ethical and practical difficulties of depending on others while refusing formal exchange. This tension gives the book credibility because it acknowledges that a fully moneyless life is hard to define and even harder to maintain in a modern economy. Readers also encounter the limits of the experiment in areas such as health, comfort, and large-scale coordination. Rather than pretending these problems do not exist, Boyle uses them to show how deeply money is embedded in infrastructure. The book's journal-like structure can feel uneven, but that same structure captures the uncertainty of the experiment better than a polished argument would. Its value lies in observing a real attempt with incomplete answers, rather than offering a perfect blueprint. That honesty makes the book more intellectually useful than many idealized sustainability texts. In conclusion, The Moneyless Man will appeal most to readers interested in alternative economics, sustainability, voluntary simplicity, and the social consequences of consumer culture. It is especially useful for people who want more than abstract criticism of capitalism and prefer to see an experiment tested in daily life. Boyle's account offers practical insight into seasonal food, local exchange, skill sharing, and low-impact living, while also raising broader questions about dependency, ethics, and community resilience. Readers looking for a conventional self-help book may find its structure loose. But those interested in social change will likely value that looseness because it reflects the uncertainty of the project itself. What makes the book stand out in its category is its combination of lived experiment and political argument. Many books about frugality focus on saving money within the system. This one asks what happens if money itself is removed from the system as far as possible. That makes it both more radical and more revealing than a standard personal finance or eco-living guide. If you would like to support Mark Boyle, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.